No. I would like to introduce you to John Trimble, who's our speaker this morning. And I'm not exactly sure how to introduce him. We had lunch a couple weeks back, and this is a shameless plug for my new favorite restaurant there. The hard-to-handle sub shop in Seaford, the small sub, has a pound of meat. A pound of meat. Sorry, vegetarians. Anyway, so we hung out and we talked, and I asked John to tell me a story. And that's always a fun way to get to know somebody. Just to say, hey, what's your story? Where do you come from? Where'd you grow up? How did you meet Jesus? And I'm not going to tell you his whole story, but I will say that his story was really fun to hear. We have Jesus in common for sure. And, man, I'm not sure what to share. Oh, random factoid. When he found out I was from Middlebury, he said, are you serious? Like Culver Duck, Middlebury? My uncle owns Culver Duck, the largest producer of ducks in the United States. And I'm like, really? Small world. And the church didn't need to know that, but it was fun for me. So without further ado, John, I think, is going to share a few things on Bible study and then some personal things as well. But without further ado, please offer a standard gateway welcome to John Trimble.
Thank you. Is this on? Thank you. Is this on? It's working? Okay. Well, thank you. I found him to be quite funny. And hi. I haven't gotten to meet you yet. John, nice to meet you. And I'm never quite sure where he's going either. I don't know if you guys like that, but he's like, and then he's so fast. And I'm like, just when I get there, he turned. So that's a good day. That was a good day then. Many of you don't know me. Does anybody know me in here? Hi. I'm John Trimble. My wife is Ginny, and we are June 12th. We'll be married 4 years with you guys, right there. So we're happy about that. I come from originally New York State. Oh, there's my daughter, Liz, and Tyler. Over there, say hi. I come originally from New York State. I have pastored for about 30 years, 4 or 5 different churches, associate pastor with a couple other churches, so I've kind of been around the Mulberry Bush a little bit. I started in upstate New York when I got saved in the Jesus freak movement. I had hair down to here and a beard down to here. And we did a few things we shouldn't have done. And then, and I felt like to tell you this right off the bat, that the Lord saved me in 1970, November. And it was quite miraculous where we were hippies and we heard of a Methodist Youth Fellowship who was raising money to be able to go out on outings and stuff. And we were 6 hippies in a car thinking, well, let's go to this Methodist Youth Fellowship thing, find out how they make money so that we can make money so we can get more drugs. Unbeknownst to us, when we went to the meeting in Brockport, New York, that all the people that were there were filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and all that stuff. And they were, as soon as we walked in, they came up to us hippies and said, do you speak in tongues? And we went, uh-oh, we're not in the right place. And one guy pointed me out and says, come here. And he ended up being an old friend of my mother, but I didn't know that. And he said, do you know your righteousness are as filthy rags to God? And I went, what? And he said, that's right. He says, you need to repent and get Jesus into your heart. And you need to ask him to come into your heart, forgive your sins, and live in your life and be Lord of your life. And I went, what? And I'm like, I was raised Baptist, but they didn't preach that. So I was like, okay, guys, get in the car. And they were going, no, there's chicks here, and it's fun here and everything. I said, get in the car or walk home. I was a 2-hour drive from where we were. And they said, well, we can't walk home. I said, get in the car. I got to go and get saved, literally. And they went, what do you mean? And the meeting just started. I said, get in the car, walk home. I made them all get in the car. I was completely heavily convicted. I floored the car as fast as that little Chevy could go. And I said, when I get to your house, you better jump out because I'm not stopping. And they literally had to open the door at 5 and 10 miles an hour and jump out because I was in a hurry to get back to my home and get into my bedroom. And as I got into my bedroom, I finally threw out five guys, all fellow hippies. And several of them got saved later, but I ran into my home, and the guy said, when you get saved, you got to get down on your knees and pray this prayer. And it was the sinner's prayer. And I can remember to this day, I got down on my knees, and that cold bed frame was right here on my knees. And it was very cold. And I said, Jesus, if you would come into my heart and forgive my sins, please, in Jesus' name, amen. And when I said that, I looked around and went, okay. And I decided to get into bed. So I got on the bed and laid on the bed with my hands like this still. Jesus, and Jesus walked into my bedroom. And he walked to the end of the bed. And he touched my feet. And the power of God, boom, went through my, like a million volts of electricity. And I felt like I came off the bed. And it was such power that I said, Jesus, don't do it again. You'll kill me. And when I came down, my eyes were closed. I went into a trance dream where the devil attacked me on a target board. I was like spinning on a board, and he was throwing darts at me. He was going to kill me. And I didn't know what to do, and I was spinning faster and faster, and I was in trouble. And I went, and it dawned on me, wait a minute, I know this Jesus. So I said, Jesus, help me. And immediately it stopped, and I woke up. I can't explain this, but Jesus was no longer in the room, but it was morning. And I was saved. Trust me. I don't know how some people get saved, but they keep doing the same old thing over and again. You can't tell if they're saved or not. But I was saved. No more drugs. No more nothing. I was saved. And I ran to the kitchen. My mother was making eggs. You know, I just remember that. And I said, Mom, I know Jesus. You got to know Jesus. And she said, oh, no. What drug are you on now? I said, no, it's not a drug. Jesus is Lord. You got to get saved. And I bugged her so much, she got convicted. And over time, the Lord saved my mother, my brothers. I have four brothers, one sister. My dad took a couple years, but he finally came. Long story short, there was such a move of God. We got so excited about Jesus that we got kicked out of the Methodist church. They asked us to leave because we had too much of Jesus. Plus, we had holy jeans and long hair, and it was not a good sight. And so, and we smelled, too. We took a shower as needed, you know. So I did the whole hitchhike to California thing and the Woodstock nonsense, all that stuff. So I was pretty bad. So I got saved. People were getting saved left and right. And so Dad said, well, you can open up our home. If they don't want you in a church, you can open up our home. He's kind of like indignant, but he wasn't saved then. But he got saved later in the meetings. And God ran 1,000 young people through our home got saved. And they called my mom and dad. We used to call Mom Pa Kettle, but they called my mom and dad Mom Pa. And there were times where there were 23 hippies living in Mom's house. I don't know how she fed us. I don't know how in the world ever. It was just a God thing. Dad got saved. And then I went to Elam Bible Institute, where I graduated there in 76. And took the church over, actually just before graduation, and pastored that church for 5 years in our town. And literally, nearly half the high school and junior high got saved. There was a major move of God in Ontario, New York. That's just east of Rochester. And we saw tremendous things take place. And back then, I don't know, everybody come from a different Jesus movement, but back then you could just burp and people would get saved. I remember I would say, let's hold hands, and one girl would fall out crying, I need to get saved. And I'd go, okay, just take the next hand, you know. And it was a powerful move of God. I thank God for it. And he called me into the ministry, and that was my first pastorate for 5 years in Ontario, New York. So that's a little bit about me. It's not a lot, but it was a major, I think he had to do that to get a hold of my attention. And I'm a pretty, I'm a slow learner. I used to think I was a deep thinker, but then I just realized I'm just slow. You know, it was a hard thing to come up to. It's like, I was thinking deep, and then they go, we got that a long time ago. I went, what? So I'm waking up to a lot of my weaknesses. The older I get, the more weaker I get. Praise God. So, and I got married, had four children, And I was married for 30 years to a woman named Judy who was with me in ministry every step of the way for all those years. Just a few months before 30 years, and I can't explain the details, it takes too long, but I want to tell you this, that just one day she decided to flip a switch, left, and I never talked to her again until just this week, Friday, when we had reconciliation and cleared up a lot of stuff, and bygones be bygones. It took her 7.5 years to do that. But I, in that time that she left, without explanation and a lot of problems, I was crushed. And I went to hell in a handbasket. And when I came to Delaware to be with Bob Muncy, who let me come and stay with him for a while, I was a basket case. And my wife used to, when she says he was pitiful, which is basically what I was, pitiful. However, through that instance, God began to formulate something, and I'd like to share this a little bit with you, that everybody that comes to Jesus, it's okay to walk around? I'm trying not, I don't want to offend anybody. There's a few places where I just stay at the pulpit. Okay. And then I got a tomato once, so, you know, I got scared. So, you know, I would like to say something, too, before I say that about what God did for me in the stages real quick. I had a dream last night, and while I was in the dream, I was at the river, and across the river was the Pearly Gates. And I went, wow, awesome, and St. Peter was there. And he said, now don't worry, John. To the degree that you have sin in your life is how deep you'll sink. But just you'll make it. Just walk through. And I looked over and here was Tim and Wendy. And I went, oh my goodness, Tim and Wendy too. I said, well, I guess I'll get going. So I went in and I went right up to here right away. It was a little scary. And I looked over at Tim and he's like almost walking on water. He's just to his ankles. And I went, look, I don't know you that long, but I know you got more sin in your life than that. And he goes, shh, I'm on Wendy's shoulders. And we only just met today. But I've known her on Facebook, and she's a blessed saint. I was going to, but you're the pastor. So I was a pastor for a lot of years, you know what I'm saying? So when we get saved, we become babes in Christ, okay? And we're all excited about Jesus as Lord, but we're still a babe in Christ, and it takes time to grow. It talks about babes in Christ in the Bible. And then as we begin to grow, we begin to realize that Jesus not only was our Savior as a babe in Christ, but now he's Lord. And we begin to get to a place where he's the Lord, where we live under his lordship. And we have a Lord experience where he says, if you're going to follow me, deny yourself and take up your cross. If you're going to be my servant, you know, keep my commandments. And now we're, okay, Lord, the Lord, the Lord. And then as we grow in the Lord, we begin to get filled with the Holy Spirit and we begin to realize that we can walk with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord. And it seems that there's a little more freedom to be who God wants us to be in walking with the Holy Spirit. And that's where I was when this happened to me, when she left. And so I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I had a tremendous renewal in my church. Things were happening. However, during that time, while I had a hold of that much, I didn't quite get to the place of the fatherhood of God. You have to have a babe experience, a child experience, a walking, a Lord experience. But there's a time where you step into a father experience where you not only know the Father, but you now shift to a place where you're not always about Jesus and Lord, you're saying Father. And Jesus spoke about the Father all the time, didn't he? It was always the Father, always about the Father this, the Father that. I do what I see the Father doing. I always did what I saw the Lord doing. And then I began to realize that the Lord was introducing me to the fatherhood of God, and I began to be his son in a whole new way. It's a wonderful, blessed place to be because now the servanthood has lifted a little bit, and now I'm becoming more who I am, more his son, more relaxed in his presence, more realizing that he's all about me and I'm all about him. Things changed. And so now I'm walking in a whole new experience that is allowing me to move as the Son of God rather than just a servant of God. Now, we all serve the Lord. Let me say this. And we all are, you know, servants of the Lord and servants of God. And I'm not dissing any service. But sometime at different times, people go through different degrees of difficulty and things, and God begins to reveal himself a little bit more that I love you as a father. And have you been with me so long, Philip? Haven't you seen the Father? And so now we begin to see that Jesus moved as a father and could touch and do the things he did because he saw the Father do it, and they were beginning to get a hold of this. And I think once they got that Holy Spirit come on them in the upper room and they began to see all that Jesus was, but he would talk so much about the Father that they began to walk in the fatherhood of God. In fact, our writers, John and Peter and Paul, began to talk about it. And so they all had to have a father experience as well. And the difference of that is from Old Testament servitude to God on the mountain, serving God, serving the Lord God, to entrance into his new covenant as the Son of God, loving the Father, Papa God. I call him Dad. Ginny calls him Papa God. So I think that I want to say this carefully. I don't believe that God delivers bad news to us and bad stuff to us so that we can learn a lesson. I just think that there are plenty of lessons to happen in life, and he's always there to teach us. I don't care what it takes place. I can't blame God for doing it, but I can say, wow, he didn't leave me. He was there all the time, and he made sure, though, I went through something, and so, a lot of it was my fault, some of it was hers, all that kind of thing. That didn't matter anymore. The reality was I got to know the Father in a way I never did before. So that's a little bit of my story in that sense, and I'll touch on it a little bit more. But I'd like to say how I got here. This is unique in that someone said, I don't know who it was on Facebook, or maybe you did, that we need somebody to teach us about how to study the Bible, and it would help us because a lot of people have difficulty with reading the Bible and studying the Bible. I'm a teacher of many years. I'm the teacher at House of Praise, where we have several and different fivefold ministry type stuff. I'm one of the teachers there, and I've been teaching the Bible for a long time, and I have a few things to say about it. I'm going to do it quickly just so I can fulfill my obligation, I guess. I felt like I should do this, and then share a few things about grace and mercy, if I may. Is that okay? And he said I can take liberty. You're James Givens' brother.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, for healing this man. Thank you for that healing in him, in Jesus' name. That's awesome. We've been praying for you like James would let us not pray. You know, he's always on us to pray for you, so that's awesome. Okay, let me do a quick thing. If you want notes, I emailed these notes to Pastor, so you can have them, look at them at your leisure whenever you want to. So that way might help you. The charge is to be diligent, to present yourself approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be eager to make yourself rewardable by God, one who divides the word of truth properly. To teach study is a monumental task. Trust me, I have taught it for years in my church, and it's still sometimes difficult. But I've learned a few things that help people in the study of the Bible. Does anybody want to be studying the Bible a little bit more or better? Three people. Like, praise God. For you three. Does anybody doesn't want to? Oh, my God. To help you study, to find interest in it, to really cause you to really get to read it and enjoy it, what are some of the problems that you have? Could some people just share with me real quick some of the problems you have about studying the Bible? Reading, studying the Bible, the Word, the Scriptures, the black book in church.
I've heard it's overwhelming. I don't know where to start.
Anybody overwhelming? Don't know where to start? That's a good one. What else, if I may?
I
It seems great. Yeah. Anyone else? Are you going to be a teacher? How old are you?
22.
Dude, you're going to be a teacher. You already got some of the workings right there. Just saying that, I can see that. You got some teaching ability. Say it a little more. Say it again. What's literal?
What's literal and what's like a metaphor?
Okay. Symbolic, metaphor, literal. Distinguishing the difference. What else is, come on, some of you have difficulty reading the Bible and studying the Bible. What are some of the other ones? Yeah. I'm sorry?
Dyslexic.
Okay, that's a difficult, personal difficulty, so it takes a little more work at it. How many read the Bible, like a whole chapter, and go, what did I just read? Hello? You know, what we'd like you to do is read five chapters today and just take it home, read it, and let us know how it is. And you read the five chapters, and they say, okay. And, you know, it was a week later. What did you guys read? Tell us about what you read, and you go, can't remember it. Okay? Meaning, context. Well, let me just give you, I think I have six tips that I think will help you. Put it that way. You can call it whatever you want. I didn't have tips here. I just have number one. Everybody reads. Just to read it is really treating it like a book. Nobody reads a letter, let alone a love letter, just to read it. You must have an inner desire for something to gain. The Holy Spirit works inside you to want to and to will of His good pleasure. If there's no interest, then pray this prayer. This is just being down to earth realistic. Lord, Your Bible doesn't interest me. Please fix it. The Bible for me is so rich that you can only eat so much cheesecake, and then you go, I got so much cheesecake, you know, my favorite dessert. I can't get away from it. It's at a point where every day I must. Anybody would like to be there? That takes a lot of work and study. But one of the things I had to pray is to God, when I first got into it, it was like, now I have to be honest with you, I'm a special case, not everybody's like this, but when I got saved, I read the Bible for 6 to 8 hours every day through high school from junior, senior year. I was kicked out of class regularly, to the point I was sent to the principal's office. I'd been there many times, sit down with Mr. Fox, and he would say, you got to stop doing this. I'm going to throw you out of school. You can't. And I go, look, forget the school. Throw out the school. You need to get saved. You need to know Jesus. If you're not going to know Jesus, you can be a principal all your life, but you're going to end up going to hell. What's the point? And he would go, I mean, I was so on fire for Jesus. So it got to a point where I would walk out into the hall being kicked out of class, and he would see me and go back to class. She won't let me into class. Just sit in the hall. Don't come down and see me. That's how bad it was. In 2 years, I memorized the New Testament. When you read it that much. And so I had a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. Now, not everybody was like that, but God opened up the scriptures for me day one when I sat in my chair and I said, what is this book? I don't understand. Please fix this. What is it? And that was the end of that. You must ask the Holy Spirit to do it. If He doesn't do it, you can force yourself, but it's not so much fun. So that's the number one thing. If you can't get into it, ask Him to open it up to you. Because once He opens one thing up on a rhema, one rhema word can take you almost throughout the whole Bible. Because there's so much backing for it. So ask God for a rhema word. Start with a passage. Number two, start with a passage or verse. Look it up to find it. Maybe a concordance. What chapter or passage is it in? Read the chapter and pass as fast as you can. Now, as fast as you can? Yes. I want to tell you something else that happened that I learned. When you read the Bible, you know, you You get a Bible verse and you read, "For we know that in our earthly house of this tabernacle was dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And suddenly something happens. You're kind of reading it like a book. Don't do that. Just trust me for a while. Just the other day, my son Matt, he's at Bible school, he called me up. He said, "Dad, I got to preach on this. I got to preach on this chapter 14, John 14. And he wants this. And I, wow, what am I going to do? And I don't understand. The first part is when, well, the second part." I said, stop. I said, "You making notes?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Put them in the drawer. Put them in the drawer. It took me an hour to get this." I said, "Just get rid of them." I said, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to go to John 14, and I want you to read it 20 times as fast as you possibly can read it." "Oh, Dad, don't pull the crap on me and the extra and the formulas. I can't do this over there." I said, "Listen to me. And after you do that, don't take any notes and go to the class and preach it." I read it four or five times. Just listen to me. There's such a thing as ignition. When you read it extremely fast as you can, and you get to the 20th time, at the end of the next verse, you will know what the next one is, and you'll be already reciting. You'll find yourself starting to recite it, and then the Holy Spirit will ignite a truth. Yes. Believe me, that's what I do. Trust me, I've been doing it for years. It's wonderful.
Yes, it works.
It's wonderful. And suddenly, there's an ignition that takes place, and when he got up to speak, he went, chapter 14, well, it starts with this, and he went on with this, and he had everything. He had it all. And the guy said, "You did a great job. You could have started a little better in the beginning and ended a little better, because you kind of like trailed off in the end and was a slow start, but you had the whole context of it." Dad, it works. It works. I don't know how it works. It works. So when you get to that, take off on it, if I may say so. Now, where was I? Now, three. This is hard. It's difficult. A lot of people do this with reading the Bible, but they use their brain. Try not to use your brain. My wife teaches me this. It's very difficult. Ginny is a feeler, and a seer and a feeler. You see that woman? No, which one? I can tell she's such. I don't even know which one you're talking about, but she's definitely. I go, who? I'm like clueless, and she already knows the person inside out. You understand what I'm saying? She's a feeler. She can connect. When you read the Bible, feel it. Get touchy-feely. A, B, C, D. A, I sense or feel this verse is saying to me. You want to say, I sense or feel this verse I just read is saying to me this. B, be asking, Holy Spirit, guide me, lead me into all truth. Because there's something there he wants to lead you into. C, cut class. That means this is not school. This is purpose of study. Don't go to school. Don't try to educate yourself. It's not education. This is just time to study. D, D is for dig. Dig in. The more you dig in, here's a verse for you. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. In that verse alone are eight topics. In that verse alone. You got to feel what God's saying to you in that verse. That's a lot there. What's that saying? I want to feel that. And if you can't, dig in a little bit and you'll feel it. Don't use your brain. Now, four is easy. New Testament's in Greek, the Old Testament's in Hebrew. So the word for Lord is Kyrion. It's a high Lord kind of stated thing, to my Lord, or Kyrios, the one who said to my Lord, sit, stop where you are and sit, rest, until when this occurs, your enemies, opposing forces, or ones are put in a place where you are, and where you're not ruled by them, and where you will be ruled by, you will rule them. Like a footstool under your feet is submission. See, suddenly I delve into that whole scripture by digging. Just by what it said. And then you can begin to get into your concordance, your dictionary, and dissect and bisect. So you're technically really just reading it like a love letter, asking the Holy Spirit to fix it for you. Holy Spirit, give me a hunger for the word. Let God, when you start out, to just read it real fast, as much as you can, as many times as you can. He'll bring it to you. Don't worry about brain. Just read it as fast as you can. It'll come to you. Feel it. Feel the verse. Use your Bible and dictionary to dissect and bisect. And then the fifth one is go tell somebody what you just picked up. There's nothing better than to go to somebody and say, you know what, I just picked this up. Did you know that Jesus is the reigning king over the world? The world's whatever you want to tell them. They'll go, yeah, I knew that. Or they'll go, no, I didn't know that. Or they'll go, you again? Yeah. So, but you're saying what you felt, what you got. That solidifies it for you. And six is another thing. Don't break the string, I put, the tether. Let me just give you the end of the rope. I'll hold the rope. Okay, now when I pull, bring your arm out. No, this way. All right. Now let go, now you pull. Now I pull. You pull. Okay? We're tethered. Okay? You don't want to break that string. Now you felt what the word is saying. Don't break the string. I'm in the middle of it. But if you don't break that string, that's called a tether in the Word of God. And it's a thread of understanding that will grow. And that understanding will take you. And you pull a little, if you pull a little bit, this is where you begin to get an understanding in your brain. It'll come to you. The Holy Spirit brings it to you. We teach what the Holy Spirit teaches, not what man teaches. It has to be a spiritual thing. So when the spiritual thing pulls a little bit, go, oh, I wasn't thinking that. Do you believe me? He'll speak to your mind. You go. I don't know about that. And he'll, and then you begin to get that back and forth with the Holy Spirit, and he'll begin to open up your eyes. That's a very powerful truth in studying the Word of God. Those notes are with Pastor. So,
how do you break the tether?
If you tell somebody about it and then move on, go play football and never get back to the Word for 10 weeks or hours, you lost something. Don't lose it. That's an extremely important thing. Once you get a rhema and you got the Holy Spirit opens up a little understanding, you can't help but tell somebody because it goes into your heart. Hey, guess what? Not only did I tell you that this, but I got a hold of a little more understanding on it. Once it's revealed to you, you can't help but tell people. Unless you're, what's the word for it, dead? No, I mean, if you're not interested, I guess. Go back to square one and say, Holy Spirit, make me interested. Because I'm going to tell you that the Word of God is so rich. It's so thick. It's just so exciting. I mean, we sat for an hour or two talking back and forth, fellowshipping in the Word of God and what's true and believing. And it was just, I didn't want it to end. And that's what it's all about. I didn't want the worship to end either today. You guys are great. Who's the guitar player with the white guitar? Dude. That's how I play the guitar, man. I mean, everybody did good, but it was just, I was watching him going, yeah. This guy gets into it. If you'd open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4. Is everything okay? I'm doing okay. Sorry. Enjoy. You got the notes, right? Yeah. He'll print them out for you, whatever he'll do, or maybe he won't share with them at all. I don't know. It's on him now. I want to share a little bit about grace and mercy, if I may. I felt like the Lord downloaded something to me. It just so happened that I just got back yesterday from Florida because my son bought a new house and he was desperate for somebody to help him get it ready. And so I painted a 2,000 square foot home, two coats, every single room except two tiny bedrooms. It's three bedrooms, bathrooms, dens, great rooms, living rooms, cathedral ceilings, kitchen, take all the cupboards out, all the cabinets off. It was a lot of work. So I worked my fingers to the bone there just to help him out, and then I flew back. He moved in Saturday. And so I felt like, Lord, how am I going to have time? But he downloaded something to me before I left. Isn't he good? So I kind of felt like I wanted to share along those lines, if I may. Now, is everybody okay? Are these lights always got to be?
It helps us a great deal.
Oh, to see me?
Yes.
All right. It's just like every time I got spots in my eyes now because every time don't look at them. It's like, don't eat their cake, you know what I mean? You ever notice that? Don't do this. You know, I don't want anybody to look at my shirt right now. Come on. You know how that is. So, God's so good. Chapter 4 is 2 Corinthians. I'd like to read several verses here. And I am reading the King James only because I don't know why. Why am I doing that? Let's do American Standard Version. It's just as good. Seeing, therefore, we have this ministry, as we have obtained mercy, we faint not. Now, I'm going to comment along the way because I'm going to try to cut this as short, as quick as possible, because there's a lot of young people here that are getting bored with this old guy. You're not? Okay, because you're smiling. I thought, he's right. No, I just... Seeing then we have this ministry, even as we have obtained mercy, we faint not. The word there in the Greek, even as we have obtained mercy, is a phrase that means we've got the mercy. It's already we got the mercy. It's a done deal. It's not saying we're going to get it. Seeing we've obtained it, okay? We have renounced the hidden things of shame, and not walk in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. In other words, I'm very cautious about this. I'm very big on rightly dividing the word of truth. I don't handle the word of God in a deceitful way, trying to get something done or an agenda or some wrong idea. But by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those that are perishing. I might say it another way. Our gospel is open to those who are saved. The gospel, the good news, is open to them that are believers. If it's veiled, it's veiled to the people that are perishing. How terrible. Okay, and it says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. I like that rendering. He's blinded the minds of the unbelieving. That the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them. That's why he's blinding them. So the light of the gospel would not dawn on them. We don't preach ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, this doesn't take away what I said earlier about serving. We serve one another and we serve people, but we're not under a servitude attitude with the Lord because we're walking as a son. I don't feel like I'm serving him in any way. I feel like I'm enjoying him and walking with him. That's not servitude. But right now while I'm sharing the word of God, I'm serving you the word of God. Does that make sense? So it says here, don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Seeing it is God that said, light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That means this. God has a beaming, shining face, and he shined to us, and he shines on us through Christ. We all have his shining countenance on us in Christ. It's a wonderful thing. There's a whole study about the shining face of God. Wish I could get into that. In the face of Jesus. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency or the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. I can prove that we have this treasure in earthen vessels because I told you not to look at my shirt, and you, everybody did. That's naughty. It just proved you have an earthen vessel. I also don't want you to look at the back of the head of the person in front of you for a few minutes. Come on, people. This girl's going. Because we have a tendency to do the earthen thing because we're earthen vessels. This is an important thing to understand about what I'm going to say here, because a lot of us, how many have difficulty sometimes with the earthen vessel? Seven people. You got a really good church here. You know, it's seven people. Okay. Pray that my battery lasts. Okay, so we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God, not of ourselves. We are pressed on every side, pressured, hassled, but we're not squeezed into a box that we can't get out. That's what that means, straightened. Perplexed. How many times have you been perplexed in your life? Like, for me, it's like 20 hours of the 24 hours a day. You know, sometimes it's like, I'm so perplexed about it. You know, one of the best things that I've ever heard is Oswald Chambers says, you may be perplexed, but God is not. And that's important. Thank God he's not. He's not perplexed about me either. Perplexed, but we're not despairing. We're not giving up. Pursued. In other words, we're attacked by the enemy, but we're not forsaken by God. And then it says here, smitten down, yet not destroyed. There are times where we are down. And sometimes we seem like we're down for the count. Anybody?
Yes.
Four people. What a church. I mean, it's awesome. I know that there's others. I'm just kidding. Smitten down, but not destroyed. And then it says, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. Now, that might be difficult to understand unless you understand that while I'm in a difficult situation or down, my earthen vessel is getting beat a little bit, but in the meantime, I'm learning how to grow in Christ and live in him so that that expression of Christ coming through me begins to touch other people. There's a dying going on in my physical body, but there's a life going on as well to others. That's basically, it's a little more than that, but that's basically the idea, because Paul bore a lot of death in his own body, that a lot of life would come out to others. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. How many want to raise their hand for that bandwagon? Like, you know, the road to the cross, there's the cross. The road to the cross is paved with black heel marks.
Yeah.
No, no, no. Because who wants to go there? But we're always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. There's a life that's manifested in your earthen vessel if there's some kind of death worked through the cross of Jesus that takes place in your life. The older guys are going, yes, and the younger people are going, what? Sorry. So then death works in us, but life in you. If you, I know Wendy enough because I read her stuff, went through some very dark times and trials, and she's delivering life throughout a mass media. People are eating her up. Her text, I can't wait to get the next thing from Wendy. Because it's delivering life from something she bore in a death situation with Jesus. And now she's delivering life to many. It's the same thing. I mean, we don't call it that, but that's really... Okay, I'm getting somewhere. But having the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believed and therefore I spoke or speak. We also believe, therefore we speak, knowing that he that raised up Jesus shall raise us up also with Jesus and present us with you. For all things are for your sakes. For the grace, we have obtained mercy. Now it says, for the grace being multiplied through the many, we've received mercy. But now the grace that's being multiplied through many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God, which is taking place in Wendy when she shares those texts. She's causing us to give thanks. I can't tell you how many people type, oh, Wendy, thank you so much. I needed it. Yes, thank you. Yeah, that ministered to me. That gave me. She's spreading life out while she had gone through trial to get there. I don't know. The faces, I learned a long time ago in preaching that you just can't go by the faces. But I hope somebody's getting something here because I'm doing the best I can. But I'm going to come to a good conclusion, I promise. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace being multiplied through many may cause the thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Wherefore, we don't faint. But though our outward man is decaying, our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, for a moment, works for us an exceeding eternal weight of glory. Isn't that wonderful? That nothing that takes place in your life is wasted. God's using it to bring more eternal weight to your being. I used to tell some of my young people, one guy got up there, he's just got saved, and he said, Pastor, I got there, I was reading the word, and I really want to get up and preach this thing. And I went, oh, well, you know, you just kind of newly say it. Tell you what, let's let you have a little more history, and then I'll let you. History, what do you mean history? A little more history in God. Let's give you 6 months. 6 months! 6 months later, I went to him. I said, hey, I'd like you to share now. I think you went through some stuff there. You got a hold of it. He goes, no, I don't want it anymore. It was too hard. I said, no, I think you're ready. I am not going to do it. I am not ready. I said, I think you're super ready. Get up there. He got up there, and there wasn't a dry eye in a place. He started bawling his eyes out about what God did to him and taught him this lesson. And everybody's going, wow, that was really good. We're all happy he's going with truth. See how that works? Eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are for a little while, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Now, I wanted to read that because I wanted to get across the thing about we've obtained mercy, but we're getting grace that's being multiplied. I mean, it happens throughout the church while we're fellowshipping one another. Now, if I can have a volunteer, and I wonder if there's a young man here by the name of Peter. You're Peter? Really? Would you volunteer, or are you kind of shy? Are you cool? We're going to do a dance. No, I'm just kidding. Is there a chair I can have? You might want a chair. Could you bring that chair up here? Peter, I'm John. Peter, I don't know you. I've never met you before, right? There's no tricks or nothing, so don't worry about that.
Just slide a hand.
And I know you're in your own family, which is the last name is?
Roach.
Peter. You the one that just married?
Yeah. Well, we weren't just married, but it's our anniversary.
How many years?
Three.
All right.
Four. Well, it's going on four.
You just blew it, brother. You're going to need what I'm going to do right now.
It's four this week.
Okay, that's all right. It's all right. I got a friend named Dave Roach. But anyway, Peter. I know you love your family and the Roach family and all that stuff. It's all good. But today, just for the sake of this whole thing and because you're going to really like me, trust me, in time, I'm very generous, I'm going to adopt you. I chose you and decided to make you my son. You are now Peter Roach Trimble. I have five sons. None of them will approve because you didn't earn it, nor were you born into it. But I'm making you Peter Roach Trimble. Okay? I just had mercy on you for screwing up your anniversary date. And I just want to have a little mercy on you. And I'm bringing you in on my mercy. Because trust me, my other sons would say absolutely not. But I'm bringing you in. I'm going to make you Peter Roach Trimble. You're now a Trimble by my mercy.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, in doing so, I'm going to put you in this chair. Okay? And you can go ahead and sit down there. By my mercy, I have put him in that chair of the Trimbles. He is now a Trimble. Peter Trimble. Does anybody have five ones for a five? I need five ones. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. That looks weird. It's not long. This guy's got tons of money. That's four, brother. Come on. Oh, that's fine. Not here. Now that you're a Trimble, I'm going to shower grace on you and give you five ones. I'm going to give you five blessings because you're in my grace now. You ask anything of me as your dad, you got it. You're a Trimble now. You're my son now. He's got grace. You got all the grace you want. Listen, nothing shall be impossible. Trust me, I'm very resourceful. I can do it. Almost anything. And I graced him with the five ones. Now, this is going to help you because he already got the mercy. He doesn't have to have that anymore. He's in. He's a Trimble now. By my mercy, I put him in there. But now he's under the tent. From here, it's wall over to that wall. The tent, including the cross, is the tent of grace. He lives in the tent of grace. What's your middle name?
Thomas.
I don't like that name. But you're under grace. It's all right. It's okay. You can have it. Peter Thomas Groach Trimble. Done. And do you have any kind of like faults or problems of any that you want to share?
I have a lot of faults.
He has a lot of faults. I guess I picked the wrong guy. You know what? It don't matter. Let somebody come and tell me one thing about you. They got to get through me first. I don't care what those faults are. You're under grace. Don't even try it. While he's a Trimble, it has in my home, the Trimbles know that if one buddy touches a Trimble, sanctification's out the window. You will die. That's pretty good grace. So far, you're doing good. So far, good. What do you do for work?
I work on the Air Force Base.
Air Force Base? You're in the military thing?
Well, I'm not in the military.
You're not?
I clean offices and stuff.
Okay. Okay, cool. Cool. I don't really like the military, but it's all right. But you're under grace. He's under grace, so he's okay. He's okay. Does anybody in here not like Peter? Don't even tell me. I don't even want to know. I'm going to put your hand down, wife. No. Don't even tell me. Now, is there any other thing you want? What's one of your hobbies?
Hobbies, video games.
Video.
Movies.
Hold on a second. Let me stop. Video games. Video games. Does he play them too much? Oh, he doesn't. Okay. You play them together. You play them together too much, right? No, of course not. No. I want you to know that you're kind of like under grace a little because you're married to him, so you kind of get a little. You got some covering here. Okay. I'm letting you off the hook. If I took away all your video games and destroyed your video player, you would cry?
Yeah.
She and him would be crying her eyes out. He's under grace. Now listen to this. Seeing therefore we've received this ministry, even as we've obtained mercy, we faint not, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame. And we run down to the other verse that says, I'm sorry, I highlighted it, I thought I did. Okay, where did I put the grace verse? What's the matter with me? We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. Lots of things happen to us, but we're saved because we got a dad that looks over us. Okay? And then it says, all things that happen are for your sake, Peter, the grace being multiplied through the many may cause the thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. You don't know where the heck I'm going, do you? Okay. I want you to take those five $1 bills and give them to not your wife. Okay. Maybe you don't really know them. I want you to go take and give each $1 bill to somebody and then come back.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Should they be people I don't know or people I know?
I don't care, but I just don't, you know, not your wife.
Okay.
And hurry.
Huh?
Hurry. That's yours to keep. That's yours to keep. That's yours to keep. That's yours to keep. You, what'd you say?
Thanks.
He just said thank you. Come on, Peter. My son. We're going to know each other for the rest of our lives, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have a seat. Now, watch this. For all things are for your sake, Peter. All things are for your sakes. I have everything at my disposal, that the grace being multiplied through you and through the many may cause thanksgiving redound to the glory of God. He just dispensed five. I don't have 50s, okay? I mean, let's try to, you know, get the message, not how much the money was. If I had five 50s, I would have done that. But are you could get half a cup of coffee. Are you? He said, thanks. Thanksgiving is taking place because I am blessing him under grace. This man does not need my mercy anymore. I had mercy bringing him in. Trust me, if you don't believe me, get my five sons to say, whoa, 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 I had to pay to get in here. And I tell them, paid what? You know, but they feel like, one day my stepson decided to change his name to Trimble because he had difficulty with his dad, so he's sitting in a booth, and my oldest son said, so Matthew, I hear you changed your name to Trimble from Bantel, you know, because her name used to be Bantel. He said, so who do you think you are taking the Trimble name? And what's right you got taking the Trimble name? And I'm sitting there going, oh, you just asked the wrong kid that question. And the kid goes, well, let me tell you this. I've had a very bad experience with a dad that was my bio dad. He treated me horrible, and I don't really know him as a dad, just a bio father. But this man is my dad and has loved me and taken care of me and helped me and made all the difference in my life, and he's my dad, and I want his name. And my son said, yeah, that's right, good, yeah. Are you getting my message? The Father has bestowed grace on you now. He got you in by mercy. If you have a treasure in earthen, if an earthen vessel is giving you a difficulty, if your earthen vessel is just not behaving the way you should, come on. I'm not stupid. I mean, I'm dumb, but I'm not stupid. Dumb is I haven't been taught everything yet. But I'm not stupid. I know that in your flesh you eat too much cake sometimes. Or sweets. I picked on you because I know you're perfect. That's the only reason why I'm just looking at you. But, Father, I'm in your grace. I don't need your, oh, I did it again. Oh, God, have mercy on me. Whoa, oh, 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 God is saying you obtained mercy. That's how you got there. That's how you got there. You're under my grace now. What do you want? I want you to make it so I don't do this anymore. Well, let's not go under the law and try to figure this out. Let's do this. I'm going to do replacement. I'm going to take your video game problems. They're not problems. I'm just kidding. And I'm going to replace them with a whole great big huge studio where you make those games and become great in the eyes of the world as a great video maker and game maker with untold ability to do that with all kinds of resources and money. The Father under grace is replacing your difficulty with his resources and his love for you. That's different from repenting of your sin and feeling horrible. Because I want you to understand this is very important. And I know this is a little bit of a theological thing, and we have a top theologian right here. I talked to him. I know. I'm scared to death because I know what he, you know, if I get off,
our next lunch ain't going to be so pretty. But when you have an earthen vessel difficulty and a problem you can't overcome in something, I want you to understand something. It's not a sin issue. It's an identity issue. It's just a minute, devil. You repeat it to me. Just a minute, devil. I'm a Trimble. Don't you come around telling me I'm not a Trimble.
Don't you come around telling me I'm not a Trimble.
He's starting to get a little... I may not be perfect in my eyes or the world's eyes.
I might not be perfect in my eyes or the world's eyes.
But if you want to mess with me, just call Daddy John.
If you want to mess with me, just call Daddy John.
Somebody bugging you? I'll take him out. Who is it? It's an identity issue. We receive the mercy to get in. He's poured on his grace, and we're in the Father's love. It's an identity. Get to the son and daughtership that you are, because that's where the grace is. Because the grace is not only, it's not only grace on you, but he multiplied his grace and poured it out in five different ministries, or monies, or things. You understand? This is what God has shown me to share with you all, that there's an actual new placement. He doesn't try to make you work on your sin and your problems, your earthen vessel. Look it, I've been working on this earthen vessel. It ain't working. It's just not working. I mean, and in my Trimble family, I'm sorry to say, we weren't born with self-discipline. Thanks, bro. You can go sit down. We weren't born with self-discipline. Yeah, we were born with the tendency to only move when the pressure was on. You know what I'm talking about? You know, when are you going to do the lawn? When it gets too high, you can't mow? No. I'll get to it. Neighbor comes by, you ain't got your lawn mowed. I know, I don't got a lawn mowed. And then my mother's coming to visit. I got to mow the lawn now, honey. Suddenly, we're pressure-oriented, aren't we? When the time comes that we got to get something done, then we'll go do it. And then we discipline ourselves to go do it. But other than that, we don't have a regular, constant discipline until we walk in that grace where the fruit of the Spirit is a discipline that keeps us in contact with His grace. And suddenly, we're enjoying His grace and His love in our lives and not the burden of being under the law and serving servanthood. He is the Lord. I love serving Jesus, but it's a joy service because he's the elder brother of God the Father, of us, of me, the Son of God. I hope I didn't lose anybody, and I hope you enjoyed that. God's so good. He's so extremely good. He is thrilled to death while I was watching. What's his name? Plays a guitar player. What's his name? Steve? Steve Elvis, man. Whatever, I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry to do that to you, but man, you were blessing me big time. God was into that. He was just so into you people. He's into this church. He's so excited about what's going on here. And I am too. And I just bless you in the name of Jesus. And if you want us to, if you want prayer, I know you have ministry time afterwards, which is fine, but if you want prayer, Jeannie and I would be happy to pray with you about something. But come in faith, believing, because God's good, and He will undertake for us because we're His kids. Amen. So I'm willing to be open for that, and I relinquish that to you, Pastor. Oh, this is made out of lead. Oh, really? Amen.
You need prayer. if you'd like John or Jenny to pray for you, any of the issues he brought up about identity or anything, come up for that. There are two things that the Lord laid on my heart. We're in a time of change right now, this time of year. There's people graduating and stuff or moving up in grade. They're going to be seniors and stuff. If you're apprehensive or things are going on about change, or there's people that are going to have babies and stuff, and so there's a time of change. So if change is bothering you right now, or jobs, so that you're changing jobs, or you're losing jobs and you're in a state of transition, a lot of change is going on. If change is pulling on you, come up for prayer today, and let's get your heart settled and your spirit settled. The second thing is there's people with physical things wrong with you here, and the Lord's been laying this on my heart that for things to change here on earth, things are birthed in heaven first for the change to take place here. God spoke the world into existence. He spoke it from heaven, and then the world existed. So God speaks things up there, and then things change down here, okay? So if there's something physically wrong with you, please come up for prayer. We're going to pray and lift it up to the Lord, and the Lord's going to touch that thing and change situations down here, okay? All right, so if you all stand, and we'll go to ministry time. That's what's on my heart, and if you'd like John or Jenny to pray for you, they're over here.